Wow, the Father, what an amazing God we serve, eh? He's beautiful. I trust that you fall in love with the Father, that after today, even tonight, that you would just get back on your knees before the Father, kneel before Him and love Him and adore Him, and know that He loves you, and that He's got plans and purposes which are so great, and that He wants to include you, that He's not left you alone, that He's not just saved you so that you could stay free on the earth. You know, sometimes we can be captivated by our own freedom. We can be captive to our own freedom. Because we can think that it's all about us being free, but we never do anything with that freedom. And so in a sense, it traps us. Our freedom is not just for us alone. We're truly free when we're setting other people free. And Jesus is the freest entity that has ever lived. And He, when He came to the earth, He said He came to seek and save those who were lost and to set them free. And so you'll find true freedom when you worry about other people being set free. I tell you, it's the most wonderful thing in the world to see liberty and release come to people who are bound. And if God uses you to do it, man, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Would you agree? I want to encourage you, be concerned about your freedom. But only because if God sets you free, He wants to use you to set other people free. But don't be so concerned about your freedom that you never ever get used by God. Because even while you've got things that are not 100% perfect in your life yet, God still is wanting to use you. And don't think that He will only use you when you have got all these things sorted out. When your finances are sorted out. When you retire. When you get your education. When you finish your studies. When things go a little bit easier. When my business is doing better. When, all these things. Then, God, you'll use me for your freedom. Fuck, even if you had to get that freedom, you'll never do anything for God because your heart is the thing that needs to be changed now. In what you're in. If your heart is free now, then let Him use you to set other people free. Don't wait for that day. You know, sometimes we set up these things. Like, when this happens, then I'll serve God. You're actually serving that thing until that thing says to you, it's okay for you to now serve God. Can we break down those idols and say, no, God, I want to serve you no matter what, even if things are not right. I'm there. Do you want to be there? Sometimes I'm not there. I ask the Lord every day, Lord, help me, please. I want to see people set free. I want to see people come to know Him. There are so many orphans running around this world, physically and spiritually, who don't have a father and don't worship a father like we do this morning. And so I want to touch on a little bit about that. We're celebrating Father's Day, and I thank God for the Father and for fathers who've taken responsibility for growing me in the Lord. And I trust that we would be like that. There's many people today that don't celebrate Father's Day. You know, folk, the entire gay, lesbian, bisexual, homosexual world and community, most of those people are stuck in those sins as a result of broken relationship with fathers. I think if we understand that men and women gain their identities from their fathers, you would see that when fathers have not fulfilled their roles, when fathers have been abusive, when fathers have abdicated their roles and left the home, that's when boys and girls grow up with a mixed idea of their gender and their sex, and their identity is skewed, and it becomes a lie that the enemy tells them that you were actually supposed to be like this, but God made a mistake with your life, and they throw out concern for the Creator and for the Father in heaven who loves them. And it's a distorted idea of the Father. Folk, I tell you, we've got a role to play as the Church of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the Son of the Father. And we've got a role to represent the Father well again. And we've got to get it right in our own homes. And to every man here, I adjure you. I don't know what strong word I can use, but be a proper father. But the only way you can do it is if you see the Father and how the Father loves you. If you've got no reference of a good father, I want to tell you today, come to God. Come to Him as your Father, and He will show you what it's like to be a father. And I tell you, for us as a church, this church who love the Father, we need to be the kind of church that's rescuing the people with broken identities and messed up roles and understandings of their sexuality and their gender. Amen? We have to win them, not shun them. Not say to them, you will never have a father. Say to them, you have a father. And he'll teach you how a father should be. And he'll teach you how a son and a daughter should behave. And what it's like to be liberated as true sons and daughters of God. Fuck, we have got our work cut out for us in these times. If I can just stir us with that thing. As a church, this church that has been called to be the rescue boat for a world that are about to have storms worse than the days of Noah. We are the rescue boat. But this is not a rescue boat where we're pushing people off the edge of the boat. This is a rescue boat where we're trying to get as many as we can into the boat. And the way in is to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, to know that they have a Father who loves them and cares for them and who restores their hearts and souls and restores their lives to God's intention for them for the rest of their lives. Can we be used like that? Can I ask us to be careful of the judgments that we've made in our hearts with regards to people and their lifestyles? At the end of the day, the right judgment is this: they don't know the Father. It's not you're a sinner, you this and you that. They don't know the Father. And if they know the Father, their lives are going to make him known. Like Jesus said, Manny said, we want to know Jesus and make him known. But Jesus said this: I want you to know the Father and make the Father known. Effectively, it's about knowing God and making God known. So do we know him? I trust that we know him well and get to know the Father. So Jesus is our example. Look at this in John chapter 5 from verse 19 to 24. It's talking about the authority of the Son. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord. John chapter 5, verse 19. Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord. So Jesus did nothing out of himself. He effectively put aside his opinion, his desires, whatever he wanted to do, and he made what the Father wanted to do what he wanted to do. He made the Father's desires his desires. He made the Father's will his will. I tell you, folk, the place of real freedom is when you don't say my way or the highway. And you don't sing like that Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. Real freedom comes when you say, I want to do it God's way. If you do it God's way, you'll know the freedom that he intended for you to have. When God said in the garden to Adam and Eve, he said, eat of every tree of the whole garden, all 1 trillion trees. You can eat of every billion fruit on every branch in the most fruitful garden that has ever existed, except for the one tree. Don't touch that one. How many of you know there was freedom as long as they did what God asked them to do? The minute they did what God wanted them not to do, freedom was lost. Amen? So behind God's requests, behind God's will, behind God's intentions for your life is true freedom. Jesus walked in true freedom because it says this, he can do nothing of his own accord but what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. Wow. I tell you, think about this. When Jesus went to the cross, he didn't do it of his own accord. He did it because he saw the Father go to the cross for us. He saw the Father making a sacrifice. He saw the Father willing to lay down his life. And you know what? The Father had vested everything in his boy. And the Father was willing to give up his boy so that he could have every one of you, boys and girls, as his children. When you see Jesus doing anything, you can see the Father doing it. You can see the Father reaching out. When you see Jesus loving someone, it's a Father loving someone. When Jesus is healing someone, it's a Father healing someone. When Jesus is opening eyes of the blind, it's a Father opening eyes of the blind. Folk, we have a great Father in heaven who cares about Curtis and the weight of his luggage, who cares about that woman who needs $60. We have a great Father who cares about you every single day. If you could take pride in the finer details of what the Father does for you, then you would start to learn that if the Father asks you to do a little thing, he's really intending for you to have great freedom by that little thing. He might say to you, my boy, my girl, I want you to stop watching that stuff. My boy, my girl, I want you to stop drinking that stuff. My boy, my girl, I want you to stop breathing in that stuff. My boy, my girl, whatever it is, you know when the Holy Spirit is speaking inside your heart. I want you to stop hanging with those kind of people who corrupt your judgment. I want you to start saying something for me. Just a little thing. I want you to start giving. I want you to start living for not just yourself. I want you to love your wife, love your children, go to gym. The Holy Spirit could actually tell you to do that. There's freedom that comes when we listen to His Spirit. I'm not trying to nail anyone here, but let's allow the Father to give us the details. And I tell you, if you could learn to listen to Him, sometimes you sit down in your devotional. I hope you open up your Bibles every day because the Father's wanting to speak. When you sit down, the Father's wanting to talk with you. The Father's wanting to guide you. The Father's wanting to bring you into freedom. Do you want that freedom? He's ready to tell you where to go and what to do to have it. As you sit down, He'll say this, that. You might hear a broad general statement from the Father initially, just something like this. I love you, my son. I love you, my girl. That's all you need for days. But you sit down the next day and you hear the Father say, I want you to love someone for me. I want you to be an encourager to somebody in your workplace today. I want you to go and take extra lunch because somebody at work might not have. Whatever it is, when you start to hear the Father speak, man, eventually it becomes so detailed. Go into contract with this person. Don't go into contract with this person. Stay by the telephone, and when you answer the telephone, this person is going to require counseling. You'll be able to know what the Spirit is saying and what the Father is saying for people on an incredible level. But it starts with us getting to the point where we say, God, speak to me. Let me hear your voice. So Jesus did that every single day. Whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all that He Himself is doing. And greater works than these will He show Him so that you may marvel. Man, when we marvel at Jesus, you're actually marveling at the Father. He's showing Himself. For as the Father raises the dead, I mean, who raised Jesus from the dead? The Father raised Him. It says He exerted Himself and raised Him in Ephesians. You know, when the Father created the universe and the galaxies and the stars, all He had to do there was say, galaxy. And it came out. All He has to do is say, star. And the biggest stars you could ever imagine are there. And then when He says, earth, it's like the little puny little dot in the tiniest little pinprick, the earth. Just breathed it out of His mouth. Whoa. But it says when He raised His Son from the dead, He exerted Himself. I mean, that's incredible. That's a God flexing. So I'm going to show off now. You say, all this creation, that's great. My Son dead? No ways. Whoa! Raises Him up. Come on. That's a Father. I tell you, what a great Father. That He would reach out for you. Stuck in the mud, stuck in your situation, stuck in whatever your life, what you've done to your own life, actually. The Father's like, I'm not going to leave you like that. I'm going to come after you, and I'm going to raise you up. And that's what He wants to do for every one of our lives. So, for as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom He will. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him. You know, people say this, oh, there's many ways to God. Oh, there's lots of ways to God. Your God, my God, their God, our God. It's all the same. It's not, folk. There's one Father. And if you do not honor the Son, Jesus Christ, you dishonor the Father who sent the Son. Imagine I take my boy Ethan and I say, I'm going to sacrifice my boy Ethan for every single one of you so that every one of you can have eternal life. And I'd bring my boy Ethan and I sacrifice him for all of you to have eternal life. And then you say, thanks for that, but I'm going to choose another way. Can you imagine what it'll do for me? I'd be like, how dare you? Honestly, without judgment. But there is only one way. There's only one Son that has been offered for your life. There's not 5, 6, 10 million other gods. There's one God and one Father who breathed out this whole creation, and that one Father is the Father of redemption through His one and only Son. And the only way to freedom with the Father is to accept what the Father has offered. That's why it's heinous to reject the offer. To say, I don't need that son, thank you very much. I'll rather just be good and be holy myself and be nice and be and live up to my own standard of righteousness, and I'll determine what's right and wrong. And for you that's right, but for me it's wrong. For me it's right and for you it's wrong. And I'll just determine what's okay and what's not okay. Folk, there's one Father and He tells us how to live and He tells us where salvation is, and that's where we've got to go. That's how plain and simple it is, black and white. Are you with me? It's got to be that strong a conviction in our lives. I trust that it'll become a strong conviction in your life. It's the way to true freedom. There's no other freedoms. We think, oh, but freedom can mean I can choose whichever way I want to. You can choose whatever you want. But true freedom comes when you choose what God wants. And it's the best freedom of all. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes Him who sent me, the Father, has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. One of the versions says, has crossed over from death to life. That's what the Crossing Church is about. The Crossing Church is a church where we preach about the One who was sent by the Father, Jesus Christ, and believing His words means that judgment is removed from you and you've crossed over from death to life. Amen. You have been crossed over from death to life. You are no longer in death, you are in life. You've made the crossing. There's no longer death, you're in life. Do you believe it, folk? That's an incredible thing to know. That God, there's no judgment for you who are in His Son, who believe His Son, who trust His Son. None whatsoever. Listen to that 1 John 4 verse 10, which I shared last week again. In this is love. We sometimes think we know what love is. And yes, Valentine's Day has an aspect of love. But real love is when you can forgive people. Real love is when you don't get chocolates and you still love. Hello? 1 John chapter 4 verse 10, in this is love, not that we loved God. So how's this? This is love. We don't love God, but He loves us. And sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. What does propitiation mean? Let me touch on that again. A propitiation is the removal of wrath for sin by the offering of a perfect gift. So Jesus Christ, the perfect gift, offers Himself as a sacrifice to take away the wrath of God for sin from every one of our lives. And it was God's plan to do it. Hello? Does that sound like good news? I mean, that is amazing. Jesus has offered Himself, and the Father sent Him. So it's not like Jesus was like, oh no, God, I don't really want to do it. Because if the Father wanted to reach brothers and sisters, the Son wanted to reach brothers and sisters too. And when the Father, almost with agony, says, but you know how this is going to happen? It's going to mean I have to offer the best that I've got. And the Son says, I agree. That's the only way. I will offer myself. And out of love for each other, the Father loves the Son and sees what He does for us. He exalts the Son to the name above all names, that every knee will bow before Him, every tongue will confess Him as Lord and King forever and ever. He's exalted Him. And Jesus says this. At the end, He says, one of the scriptures says, after Jesus has gained glory from everything, and the devil's dealt with, and everyone that will not glorify Jesus is in hell, and everything that is glorifying Jesus, once the Lord has united it all, He's going to bring it all to the Father and say, Father, it's all for You. How glorious. Can you live your life for the love of the Father, even if it cost you? Can you live your life in response to what He's done for you? Can I encourage us here, please, folk? Get rid of all fear of the loss of salvation. Okay? Because if the Father is reaching out to save you by sending His Son. And if you believe in His Son, that's when the Father says to you, I accept you forever. If you believe in the Son, He will never push you away. Ever. If you are a sinner, and He says, I will send my Son to die for you as a sinner. If you believe, how can God then say, there's a time that comes where I'll say to you, no, you're still a sinner. Never. He's a glorious, wonderful Father. And so if you believe that the Father would reject you, then you have to live in fear. And you have to wonder whether your life is okay to the Father for Him to accept you in the end. And living in fear is not living in love. Amen? Because perfect love casts out fear. Now let me show you this. If you believe that what Jesus Christ has done for you is eternally secure, and you have assurance in that eternal security of what He's done, not in what you do, in what He has done. To believe in what He has done to save you, the Father's idea, the Father's offer, the Son dying for us, believing in Him, the Father says, I choose you and accept you forever as mine. If that's eternal, then my whole life is not based on fear to serve Him, but is based on love because of what He's done. And I want to glorify Him, and I want to honor Him, and I want to stay away from sin because that's what He died for, but I want to keep blessing Him with my whole life because He said to me, I promise to save you. Amen? There's a huge difference between fear of losing something and walking such a straight line that you're scared you drop it somewhere. There's a huge difference between that and knowing that it's dealt with and living out of absolute joy that it's gone and you can worship Him and serve Him no matter where, no matter what. Where do you want to live? Over there or over here? Do you want assurance? Assurance is yours in Jesus Christ. Assurance and eternal security is yours in Jesus Christ. I preach it. We preach it. If you don't believe it, I hope that you do. I hope that you'll change. I hope that you'll see the love of the Father is way bigger than you can ever imagine. It casts out all fear. It's a wonderful place to be. Now I want to look at the scripture, Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 11 to 22. I mean, do you know how much God loves you? Do you know how much He loves you? No, because we think we know. He loves us way more than we know. Because our knowledge of His love is only limited to the capacity of our own minds. His love is far greater than that all the time. So even your experience of His love is just a small part of His love. His love is far greater than you can ever imagine. Far greater. I trust that you would rely on His love. His love is good. His love is kind. Okay, so, look at this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 to 22. Therefore remember that at one time, you Gentiles, in the flesh called the uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision, so in other words, those who were covenanted with God looked at those who were not covenanted with God and declared them not covenanted with God. The circumcision was a sign of the covenant. So, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you, at that time, were separated from Christ. So, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. There's a time when I was separated from Him. Amen. You believers in Jesus Christ, you know there was a time when you were separated from Him. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you're separated from Him. Amen. But I want to show you the beauty of what it says we were, and now what it says we are. Therefore, at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Hectic. At one time we had no hope and without God in this world. That's what a lot of people are in right now. No hope without God. The corollary then is if you've got God, there's hope. Hello? But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility. By abolishing the law of the commandments expressed in the ordinances, that He might create in Himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. So the hostility is dealt with by Jesus on the cross. I mean, imagine for God to be hostile after the cross is to say that the cross is not enough. God was hostile on the cross to the sin that was on His Son. He had to be, so that He would never be hostile to us who believe in Him. It's removed. If God had to now be hostile to you after you've believed in His Son, then He's effectively saying, I didn't do enough to my Son, I still have to do something to you. And He will never do it, because He's done it to His Son. That's freedom. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Come on. You're free of the hostility. You can come to the Father anytime, any place, speak to Him as a son, as a daughter. He loves you. There's no hostility. Even if you're coming with an area in your heart that you know is not right, it's because He's drawn you to come there to get rid of it. Because He wants to keep seeing you walk in freedom. So, goes on. By abolishing, okay, so where are we? Verse 17. And He came and He preached peace to those who are far off and peace to those who are near. For through Him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers or aliens, but you are fellow citizens with saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In Him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by His Spirit. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 to 21. So we've been built into a household that God and a family that God is wanting to add to more and more. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 to 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has what? Passed away. The new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us a message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. What a powerful verse, folk. You have been reconciled to God, not counting your sin against you. Be reconciled to God. Now He wants to use you to be an ambassador, shining out His righteousness. Not keep shining out His sin as if God's okay with that. No, He's not okay with it. Stop sinning. But He loves you. He's not going to get rid of you. So shine out His righteousness because you love Him. Man, when the Father brings you into the family, He wants to bring others into the family. Because God has saved you, He wants to save others. Because He's reached you, He wants to reach others. John chapter 17, sorry, I'm going through all these scriptures. John chapter 17, verse 18 to 26. It says, the Bible says we need to give ourselves to the public reading of scripture. So that's what we're doing here. Are you good? As you sent me into the world, John chapter 17, verse 18 to 26. As you, the Father, sent me, Jesus, into the world, so I have sent them into the world. Who's them? It's you and I. How did the Father send Jesus into the world? When Jesus came into the world, he said, I'm not going to do anything or say anything except that which my Father says or does. Now, as Jesus was sent, he's saying, I send you in exactly the same way. Now, we like millions of mini Jesuses all around, and we have to do the same thing. Listen to the Father, yeah, what he tells us to say, yeah, what he tells us to do, and go do the same. And live in the freedom of it. Not waiting for the day when we're finally free. No, you are free right now. You're reconciled. No hostility. Go for it. Go for it now. As you sent me into the world, so I've sent them into the world. For their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. Isn't that amazing? Look at this. Jesus says, I consecrate myself. In other words, I'm clean. And because I clean myself, it cleans them. How are you made clean? You are made clean because Christ cleans himself. That's amazing. If Christ doesn't, you can't. Because it's not dependent on you. It's dependent on him. So when you're in him, the one who is clean, you are clean. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. How are other people going to believe? Through our word. Can you see that? Those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I am in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory that you've given me, I've given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be where I am to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. Isn't that amazing? Know him and make him known. Jesus knew the Father, made the Father known. We know Jesus, make Jesus known. Because by doing that, we're making the Father known. So let's get to know him. Let's make him known. Oh, man. I just want to touch on something. And it might sound heavy, but please be free. Be free. You know that the devil has a plan. You know the devil has a plan. You know what his plan is? The devil's plan is to have the whole world worship him. That's his goal. The devil wants to be a father, just like God is a father. The devil wants to have sons and daughters as his children. Jesus even said to the Pharisees, he said, you are children of your father, the devil. The devil's plan is to have a father's day, okay? And the devil wants everyone to be his children. He's not going to get it right. Because he doesn't love them. He doesn't lay down his life for them. And folk, we either live as the devil's child or as God's child. Now, we are God's children. But a lot of the world are living as children of the devil. And that's what we were before we became children of the Father in heaven. We are children of the devil. That's hectic. And he doesn't have good plans. And he will do whatever he can to try and rope in as many people. And you know what? I've actually read up on the Satanic Bible. Anton LaVey, who was the Satanist high priest who wrote the Satanic Bible, he writes in the Satanic Bible that Satan isn't even a being. But Satan is just a concept of your own personal indulgence. And that your whole life is about you and your ego being inflated. And that you need to gratify and satisfy yourself as much as you can. That concept is Satan. So the Satanic Bible is even lying to the Satanists that there isn't a Satan. It's the greatest lie that can possibly be, that he doesn't exist. And they follow it believing that he is only a concept for their own personal satisfaction and gratification. Now, let me ask you something. How much of the world, without saying that they're Satanists, are living for their own personal gratification and ego? Not knowing that that's the devil's plan. Because the devil came to the garden and he said, eat of this fruit, it'll make you wise, it'll make you clever, and you'll be able to decide what's wrong and right. It's all about you. It's the same plan all along, and that's how he gains children, by getting them to think about themselves and make up their own decisions about themselves, what's right and wrong for themselves, and gratify themselves all their lives long. Devil's children. God's children. Not about myself, laying down my life, just like Jesus did, for other brothers and sisters, to be one to the Father who loves them. Whose Father's Day is it? Our Lord. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29, it says that Jesus is the firstborn among many brothers. In Hebrews chapter 2, in verse 11, he said he's not ashamed to call us brothers. Folk, Jesus wants brothers and sisters.